The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
All right, on this Thursday morning, the day after history was made in the nation's capital, what a day it was, and I still haven't really been able to find the words to adequately describe what went on and how it makes me feel. Joining us right now, longtime Washington, D.C. journalist, political analyst for ABC News, Steve Roberts. Steve, good morning.
Hi, Paul.
How do you put into words what went on yesterday?
Well, you know, the president said, remember this day. Those are three words I think are true. And I think for Trump's most loyal supporters, after all, he did get 74 million votes. I would describe all of them as hardcore loyalists. But he has a very large and devoted following. And I do think for a certain number of Americans, they will remember yesterday as a day of triumph, a day of victory. But I think for a growing number of Americans, including a lot of Republicans, it was not a day of victory. It was a day of infamy. It was not a bright day. It was a dark day. And I think those images will be a central part of Donald Trump's legacy. And I think they will be a stain on his presidency. And I think that they will be a major obstacle in any dreams he might have of running again for the presidency. Washington Post this morning quoted one of his closest aides from inside the White House calling him a monster yesterday, and his not only inciting the rioters, but then his refusal repeatedly to make any attempt to get his supporters to leave the Capitol. People will remember that, Paul, and they will remember it as a symbol of this presidency in a very bad way.
I think a lot of people are wondering, how do we get through the next 14 days or 13 now until the inauguration with a president who obviously has finally, the closest he's come to conceding, saying that there will be a peaceful transfer of power on the 20th. But there's still a lot of chaos there in Washington, D.C., in the White House, if not the Capitol.
Well, yes, but, you know, in some ways, I spent many years covering the Congress. My in-laws, Hale and Lindy Bogg, spent close to 50 years as members of Congress. My late wife, Cokie, you know, had her birthday parties in the Capitol when she was 7 years old. My family had a long, long and a proud association with the Capitol, and it was deeply wounding to me and to many Americans to see the shrine of American democracy. That's the best way to think of it. It's not just a building, it's a shrine. It's a sacred place. And to see it desecrated was deeply wounding. But the long run, Paul, the story of this year was not the fragility of American democracy. It was the resilience of American democracy. You had a president who repeatedly tried to undermine the results of an election, whether it was by calling the Secretary of State in Georgia, whether it was by summoning legislators from Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, whether it was raging against the judges who ruled against him. And yet in the end, at 4:30 this morning or 3:50 this morning, the system worked. And people stood up to him. You think of that phone call the president made to the Secretary of State of Georgia, putting as much pressure as he possibly could from the president of the United States to a conservative Republican official in the state of Georgia. And this man simply said to the president, no, Mr. President, you are wrong. And the results are fair and you lost. Think of that, Paul.
Yeah.
That's the moment I'm going to remember. And so with all of the ways in which the shrine of democracy was desecrated, in the end, the strength of the American system was revealed and reinforced.
I just keep thinking about how much worse yesterday could have been in terms of violence, in terms of damage to the Capitol. It almost seemed as though the protesters weren't sure what to do once they arrived inside. They had gotten there, and then now what?
Well, yes, and I think in the end, the physical damage to the Capitol is superficial, and it was cleaned up pretty quickly. And I think it was the right thing to do, a show of strength and a show of resolve for the members of Congress to come back at midnight and finish the business of the day that they had started. It was a strong statement that Congress would not be intimidated. So the physical damage doesn't bother me very much. What does bother me is the notion that there is such a large number of Americans incited by the president. Now, Mitt Romney said this. He didn't discount what Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer said. Look what the Republicans said. How many of them said that it was the president who was responsible for this, not only in terms of what he said yesterday, inciting his supporters to go down to the Capitol. It's what he's been saying for 2 months since the election, and in many ways for 4 years since he's been president. He's fed his followers an absolutely steady diet of falsehoods. When the president and a number of even the Republican senators and House members said, oh, well, we have to challenge the results of the election because our constituents are so upset. Well, why are they upset, Paul? They're upset because they have been told repeatedly untruth. They've been told repeatedly the election was stolen. They were told repeatedly in the face of every possible fact that the election was unfair. So, of course, they're upset.
Sure.
But that's the source of it. You know, this is the arsonist who sets a fire and then starts yelling, get me the fire department, get me the fire department. And that's what bothers me going forward, Paul, because this new president, whether you voted for him or not, whether you like him or not, that's not the point. The point is that a new president is going to be facing a significant chunk of the American electorate in Michigan and many other states that don't believe he's a legitimate president. That's not good for the country.
And Steve, that's why I wonder what yesterday was. Was it the end of something or the beginning of something?
See, Paul, that's a very good question. I think it was the end of this phase of Trumpism. Symbolically, Twitter closed his account yesterday because they finally had enough of his falsehoods. And that was both real and symbolic. That in 2 weeks, Donald Trump will not be president. And that means that the world, the political world, will not quaver and respond at every tweet and twitch and tirade from him. And that will end an era. But what comes next, we don't know.
Yeah.
We do know that there were 74 million people who voted for Trump. We do know that there are still a lot of people who believe in him. We do know that there are a lot of people who think Joe Biden is not a legitimate president. How that plays out, the beginning of that era, is uncertain. But the era of Trump's ability to totally dominate American politics, that era is coming to an end.
Steve Roberts, always appreciate your time, your insight. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. We'll talk again real soon.
Sure, Paul. Bye.
Take care.